So I'm going to talk on the coming of the Spirit. And last week I made a promise, and that was that I would preach today about a phenomenon we see in Scripture known as speaking in tongues. We see this phenomenon in Scripture. Technical term scholars use is glossolalia, but I'm just going to call it speaking in tongues. And I'm going to try to break this down and just teach this morning just to try to help you guys. My sole purpose is just to help you with this, all right? Help you understand it and help you see it and see some of the Scriptures. So let's begin with 1 Corinthians 14, verse 5. Paul said, I wish you all spoke with tongues. I wish you all spoke with tongues. The English Standard Version, which is a real literal translation of the New One, says, now I want you all to speak with tongues. I want you all to speak with tongues. I'm going to echo that Scripture and Paul's heart, and I'm going to say the same thing. I want you all to speak in tongues. Everybody in here. Amen? So I have a thesis statement, and I want us to get this in our minds and in our hearts today. The thesis is this. Every born-again believer has the opportunity to receive a specific prayer language from God. And we'll say it again. Every born-again believer has the opportunity to receive a specific prayer language from God. Okay? I'm going to break this down into two ways. I see tongues in two ways in the New Testament. That is, we see tongues used in a public sense, openly, and then we see tongues used in a private sense, devotionally. Openly and then privately, or publicly and privately, or for ministry context and then for devotional purposes. So let's begin with the public use of this gift of tongues. First of all, we see in the Bible that tongues are a sign. That when we hear someone speaking in tongues, it's a sign. 1 Corinthians 14, 22. Therefore, tongues are for a sign. Everyone say sign.
Sign.
Therefore, a sign not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophesying is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. So tongues are a sign. And what are they a sign to? A sign doesn't mean you have arrived, but a sign always points to something, right? If we leave here today and we see a sign that says Edenton this way, we don't stop at the sign and get out and think we've arrived. No, it's pointing us to Edenton. So when we hear tongues publicly used, it's a sign pointing us to the fact that God is in the room. That God is here, God is present, God is doing something, God is in the room. Amen? So, there have been instances of this, and many instances of this, throughout the 20th century. And when it's used publicly like this, often it's coming for a purpose, and sometimes it becomes what scholars call xenoglossolalia. It becomes other languages of other races and nations actually spoken. For example, years ago, my friend Dr. Vincent Sinan told a story of a church service happening, and this preacher was preaching, and every now and then, in between English, he would say a few words in tongues, then he would go on preaching English, then he would say a few words in tongues, and lo and behold, there was a Polish man sitting on the back row, and every time this preacher would speak in tongues, the Polish man was hearing him perfectly in Polish. And you know what he was hearing? Jesus is for Polish people too. And the guy ended up coming to Christ because he was hearing this in his language, in his Polish language, a sign that God is in the room. Also, we see publicly the use of tongues comes with it accompanies the coming of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verse 33, therefore being exalted, this is what Peter said of Jesus. He said, therefore being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. He poured out this which you now see and hear. What was happening in Acts chapter 2? The Holy Spirit came and was poured out upon the New Testament church. There were 120 believers or so in a room. They were praying for the promise that Jesus had promised them. And then the Spirit came, and it came with signs and wonders. The Bible says there were cloven tongues like as a fire set upon each person. That was a physical demonstration of the Spirit. And then they began speaking in tongues. And then Peter says, this is what you now see and hear. It's a demonstration of God's presence. Okay, well, we say, but I think the evidence of tongues, Pastor Hans, is love, or the evidence of the Spirit coming is love. Well, I would not disagree. I do too. I think the ultimate witness of the Spirit is love. However, it takes a long time for me to figure out if you love me or not. I have to be around you a while, and I have to figure this out. But these guys were seeing something instantly and were hearing something instantly. You say, well, the real manifestation of the Spirit is patience. Well, I would not disagree. But it takes a long time to let me figure out whether you're patient or not. These guys were seeing and hearing instantly the manifestation of the Spirit. What were they seeing and hearing? What's he talking about? They saw them and heard them speak with other tongues. And I really think there was a dual miracle going on here, because everyone heard them in their own language, and then the apostles were speaking in other languages. So it's like there's a miracle of speaking and there's a miracle of hearing going on at the same time. And we see throughout Acts that tongues becomes the common denominator of the comings of the Spirit in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2, the Spirit comes at Pentecost. Acts chapter 8, the Spirit comes upon the Samaritans when Philip preaches revival to them. Acts chapter 10, the Spirit comes upon Cornelius and his household who were Gentiles. Acts chapter 19, the Spirit comes upon the Ephesian believers. In each of those instances, different things happen, but the common denominator was that they spoke with tongues. That's why when Pentecostals read this at the first of the century, they said, evidently, the common denominator, the evidence of the coming of the Spirit seems to be tongues. It's always there. However, tongues are also used for public messages in a ministry context. And Paul tells us and gives us guidelines according to this, that when they come in that context, they are to be interpreted. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. But he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. So there are times when we're gathered together as a body that someone will receive a message, and that message will come forth in unknown tongues, and they'll speak it out like that. And then in that context, there's just a natural order of the Spirit that happens. That is, the church becomes silent. We listen to this person give this message. And then we wait for the Spirit to move upon someone to interpret that message. It's happened here numerous times. We've seen this throughout the years happening, and there's a natural order and flow of the Spirit when this happens. And it's a sign, and it's a message. For example, a few years ago, we had a couple visit here, I think, for their first time. And they were visiting here for the first time, and a message in tongues was given that morning during worship time. And then an interpretation of that message was given as well. And of course, I didn't know the couple was here visiting, but you know, if I would have, I'm glad I didn't know. Because sometimes when you know people's in the crowds, you're like, oh Lord, what are they thinking? You know, it's like Doug Echols said, his dad always made him bring all of his dates to church before they could go out on a date. So he always was going to church praying, Lord, let it be dead tonight. God, let this service be dead. And he said, sure enough, we'd get there and they'd go wild. So anyhow, this couple leaves and they said, you know what their comment was about the service? They said, hey, great service. But man, when that message was given in tongues, the presence of God came all over us and we were like, oh my gosh, God is in this building. God is in this building. It is a sign, and in particular, it's a sign for unbelievers. Did Paul not say that? It's a sign for unbelievers. So we have this theory sometimes that we shouldn't have any demonstration of the Spirit because it's going to run off lost people. That is exactly opposite to what the Scripture teaches. It's opposite. Matter of fact, he goes on down in chapter 14, talks about prophecy, and he says when one prophesies and the unlearned or sinner, someone not knowledgeable of what happenings comes in, you know what he said happens? He said the secrets of their heart are open, and then they'll fall on their face saying, surely God is among you. So it's when we have the moving of the Spirit, and when we have the gifts of the Spirit in operation, is really when we see things really start to shift and move. Thanks for the four amens. I think everyone's in Memorial Day mode today. It's like, I'm thinking about that launch here in my backyard, Lord. Just hang on with me for a few more minutes. Give me a wave of sign of life out there. Hallelujah. Okay, so now let's talk about the private usage of tongues. There is a private usage of tongues, too, for personal prayer. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? Do I give it up?
No.
Do I stop?
No.
Not at all. Not at all. But he says, what is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit. And I will also pray with the understanding. That means I will pray with the Spirit because that type of prayer is spirit-to-spirit prayer. So he says, I will pray with the Spirit, little s, that's my spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. In the original Greek, it's mind, the Greek term nous. I will pray with my spirit and I'll pray with my mind. What's he mean? He means I'm going to pray with my mind. I'm going to go before the Lord and say, Father, I pray you bless our church. God, I pray you bless the folks there. I pray you bless the folks in the hospital today. God, I pray you save my family. God, I pray you move them. And I'm praying all that I know. And then if you're like me, you come to the end of that. And you stop and you pray all you know. And then you switch over to praying in the Spirit. And you just begin praying in unknown tongues. And you begin praying. Why? Because now it's your spirit praying, and your spirit communicates directly with the Spirit, capital S. And your spirit connects with the Spirit, and then you begin praying in an amazing... It's like you just picked up the bat phone. How many were like me and grew up watching the old Batman, the real Batman? And he had a bat phone that just went to Commissioner Gordon. Only just him and Commissioner. I've got a bat phone inside of me that goes only to the Holy Spirit. And he prays directly through me. Hallelujah. Somebody shout amen. So it is a praying in the Spirit. It's praying with or in the Spirit. Capital S. Notice the next phrase. He says, you know what? I will sing with the Spirit. And I'll sing with the understanding also. I don't know if you do this, but I just encourage you to go home, sing in the Spirit. What do you mean sing in the Spirit? Don't sing in English. Sing in unknown tongues and let the Spirit of God roll through you. This is what, you know, even in our worship, when Jeremy and these guys are up here, sometimes they'll hit a zone where they go off the page. And it's okay to go off the page in worship. I give permission and blessing this church to go off the page in worship. And when we do that, don't sit there like, when's this going to be over? When are we going to get the words back? No, 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 no. At that time, that's your cue to just go, woo! Hallelujah, Jesus, glory, glory. And you're having your own praise session back there by yourself because now you're not trying to keep up with words. It's just your spirit praying and your spirit worshiping. And the cool thing is, there are 300-400 people in here, and when you sing, we can't hear you. You can be the worst singer on earth, and it doesn't matter. Just let it go, man. You're in the midst of all these people, and let it go. Well, I don't like the lights down. Well, you wouldn't like the early church then. In the catacombs, they met with candles. I felt a cold wave on that one. Like, I just want to get you where you can pray and not have to worry about people sitting in the back looking at you. I hate that, man. I just want to get where I can get into some prayer and get out of my way. I want to pray and sing. And if I'm off key, oh, it doesn't matter because everybody's worshiping around me. Somebody shout amen. Yeah. Praying in the Spirit. Come on, say it with me. I will pray, in the Spirit. And I will pray with the understanding. So it is prayer in and with the Spirit. Also, Paul says when a man prays in tongues, 1 Corinthians 14:4, he edifies himself. So when we pray in the Spirit, it's a prayer that builds us up. So again, does that mean we don't need to do this? Oh, it's all selfish. It's building yourself up. No, Paul says to. He says, I wish you all spoke with tongues. He said, I pray in tongues more than you all. Then at the end of chapter 14, he says, forbid not speaking with tongues. It doesn't sound like he's against it. He's actually arguing in 1 Corinthians 14 for unity and order in the church. He's not trying to squelch a gift, but he's arguing for unity and order in the church. Can somebody say amen? It's a prayer that builds up. The intellect is humbled and the soul is being put in place. And it's the prayer said to God in freedom. It's the Holy Spirit speaking out of us, and it builds us up. Even Jude said in Jude 20, building up your most holy faith, brethren, praying in the Holy Ghost. Meaning praying, I believe, in your prayer language. It is effective prayer. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. So the Spirit comes, and He searches the heart. He knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So when we pray in unknown tongues, we are actually praying the perfect will of God. Because my intellect basically is bypassed, and now we're praying spirit to spirit, and the Spirit of God knows the perfect will of God. The Spirit of God is already in the perfect will of God, if that's even possible logically. And then the Spirit of God is already out and already sees my future, and the Spirit of God already sees my destiny. And when He prays through me, He's praying those things through me. Paul said, a man who prays in tongues prays mysteries in the Spirit. So the Spirit is praying mysteries and the unknown and the perfect will of God, and He may be praying for something that I'll face in the morning. He may be praying for something I'll face 5 years from now. He may be praying against attack. He knows the devil is scheming because he knows the mind of the enemy. And so when we pray in unknown tongues, we are actually placing ourselves in like this zone of this perfect will of God, to where God prepares us and gives us all that we need. He downloads what we need. Is everybody awake and with me in this building this morning? It's effective. It's effective prayer. The lame and weak prayer of an ungodly man. Now, that's what the Bible says. The Bible says the effectual and fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. It's effective. So, I love this man's already gone to heaven to be with the Lord, but his name was Burt Clendenin. He was a great Assemblies of God preacher from Texas. And Burt Clendenin was preaching. He's got a famous sermon he preached called Praying Through. And in this sermon, he said that when he was in his younger age, and he had, you know, kids he was raising, he's married and got kids and all this, he's preaching as an evangelist, and he's really, really working hard, and he said he has some heart issues. He went to a heart doctor, and the doctor told him, said, you're going to have to slow down. You're going to have to take a break from revivals for a while, and you're going to have to get your life straight. So he said, okay, he promised the doctor he would, but he said, I had one last revival I was going to preach. So he said, I showed up at this church and began preaching revival and got up to the pulpit and started and had a massive heart attack and fell out right in the pulpit. But he said, after that time, all I remember was my wife praying over me. Come to find out later, his wife was praying for him in unknown tongues. He was hearing it all in English. And he said, all I was hearing was, God, you can't let this man die. He's got a family to raise and he's got to take care of us, God. And Lord, this man's got a ministry, God, and we're not letting him go in Jesus' name. And he came back. He came back. And when he came to himself, he told his wife, he said, load me up in the station wagon, take me to a motel, and drop me off. And they dropped him off at the motel, and he said, if I don't contact you, I've died. But if I do, God's going to heal me. And he stayed in that hotel for about 9 days, and he said he kept praying, and he kept praying, and he kept praying until he prayed through. He's got a wonderful message called Praying Through. You can get it on YouTube. And he's praying, and he said, all of a sudden, I felt one day the hand of God come down and reach into my chest cavity and pump my heart a couple times, and I was completely healed. And he said from that moment on, he went on preaching, and he went on the mission field in his 70s and 80s. And died of old age, planted thousands of Bible colleges around the world. It's something to pray in the Spirit. We pray the perfect will of God when we pray in the Spirit. Hallelujah. And as we started, every born-again believer has the opportunity to pray in the Spirit. Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, these signs will follow those that believe. In my name, they will speak with new tongues. Said it right there at the Great Commission in Mark. Every one of those things he said, we can do as believers. We can preach the gospel to all creation. We can cast out demons in his name, speak with new tongues in his name. If we drink any deadly thing, it'll not harm us. We can take up serpents in his name. I believe all the believers can do all of those if you just believe. Some people say, yeah, but Paul says, do all speak with tongues in 1 Corinthians? Yeah, but let me tell you something. He's talking about public usage of that gift. He's not talking about private devotional tongues. It's open to everyone. Why did the Spirit come in Acts chapter 2, 8, 10, 19? And they all spoke out loud, all spoke together, and all spoke in unity, all publicly. Why? Because it's an accompanying of the Spirit. It's not. Paul is not writing 1 Corinthians 14 to squelch the use of the Spirit in church. But we have used those scriptures to kick the Spirit right out the door. No, you can't speak in tongues in church. Well, you stand next to me, I'm praying in the Spirit. Because I worship in the Spirit. I'll be praying, but I'm not going to come up and take over the church. It would be out of order. I think that's why a lot of people have been put off to the things of the Spirit, because we've seen them used out of order. Like I've seen people come up and walk the altar and pray loudly in tongues, and everyone just sits and watches them, and there's no interpretation given. And they just took over a part of the service, and it was completely out of order. We've seen people dance and shout and come up and put on such a show. Even people coming to the platform and twirling it around like a whirligig. And busting their head wide open on tent poles. Because they're out of order. I'm being much more mean in this service than I was at 9. Get the audio recording of 9. It was like, that's out of order, man. But we've had this thinking in Pentecost that you can only be used when seized upon by the Holy Spirit. Now, I believe in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but we used to believe you could only speak in tongues if the Spirit seized you and came upon you, shook you, and that's the only point you could speak in tongues. However, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. And what he's saying to those guys is you can control these gifts by your own willpower. I know y'all may not believe that, but I'm just telling the scripture. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. If you have a prophetic word in the church and you feel it needs to be shared publicly, you're not going to do it when I preach. If you do, I'm going to rebuke you and set you down because it's out of order. So what's Paul saying? You can hold that until an opportunity arises, then you share that word. And if no opportunity is given, you leave and it's not on your hands anymore, it's on the pastor's hands. I control the flow of the service. Don't worry about it. You are free. You are free. Some of y'all look at me like deer in the headlights, man. But I'm just encouraging you. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Seek the Spirit. Go for that. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I received the Spirit when I was home in a quiet environment. And I like it loud, but sometimes when we get in church and we try to pray for people, I think sometimes we confuse them more than we help them. You've been in those situations. Hold on, brother. And then someone's over here. Let go, brother. Am I to hold on or am I to let go? Then we had one sister to come pray for you in one church back home, man. And she's like came out of the onion patch. She'd been eating green onions and she got a hold of you. And you're like, the breath just knock you down, man. Come on, man. No. There's a beautiful order to the things of the Spirit. So I went, I was a college student at University of Kentucky, and I was invited by a good friend of mine to go to Tulsa, Oklahoma to an Oral Roberts conference. So we went to Tulsa, Oklahoma, to the campus of ORU, and went to an Oral Roberts conference. I never experienced this in my life, and this was back late 80s, early 90s. And we had wonderful worship, wonderful preaching. Who's who of preachers was there? And they would just be led of the Spirit and say, hey, Brother John Hagee, you need to speak. Or Brother Kenneth Copeland, you need to speak. And all these guys were just sitting out in the crowd. But then they got up and started worshiping. And they hit a vein. And you know, Oral would be the type of guy, he'd say, everybody now, pray in your prayer language. Go. Sing in the Spirit now. And for us old school Pentecostals, it was like, what is he doing? But they got up worshiping at this conference, and it hit a lull in the music where we were no longer singing in English, and all of a sudden, everyone started singing in tongues. I'm talking 6,000, 7,000 people. And I heard harmonies, like these cascading harmonies, and this flow. I really felt like I've experienced a little bit of what the angels sound like in heaven. Because it was every man and woman in that place filled with the Spirit singing through the Holy Spirit. And there was such unison and harmony and beauty to that. I long for the day when Fountain of Life Church worships like that. Where we're caught in the Spirit and it's like heaven on earth. And I'd never seen that before in my life, and it changed my life. It literally changed my view of worship. Hallelujah. Come on, how many want to be just overflowing with God's presence? Don't you? I just want to overflow. Because when you work out of the overflow, it's good, man. You aren't scraping the bottom. You're like on the overflow. You know? We had a prophetic conference back here a few months ago, and I knew it stretched me and it stretched a bunch of y'all. But I'm telling you what, I got out this week, I preached in Charleston, South Carolina this week, and I start laying hands on people, and it's just like, I feel like a prophet over everybody. I just like seeing things in the Spirit overflow. Well, because once you exercise that gift in you, it just starts coming as an overflow. And then you start living in such a way that you want nothing to hinder the overflow. You know? I want to live in such a way where I can flow how God wants me to flow. Hallelujah! Come on, let's all stand in here. I'm going to stop right here. Devotional tongues, ministry tongues, private tongues, public tongues. Does everyone speak in tongues publicly with a gift of the tongues to give to the body? No. That's only as the Spirit leads. That's as the Spirit determines. Does everyone interpret those messages under the unction of the Spirit? No. That's as the Spirit leads. I believe we all have the capacity of that, but it's if the Spirit comes on you, then you do that. However, privately, may all speak with tongues? Absolutely. Because it's your Spirit praying in unity with the Holy Spirit the perfect will of God. So I'm going to say something this bold, and I want you to hear me. I believe every one of you who've received Jesus as Lord, every one of you who've been washed in the blood, qualify to pray in that prayer language and pray in that devotional tongue. Every one of you qualify for the gift of the Spirit. You say, no. I haven't done enough yet. I haven't become worthy enough yet. Well, let me lay one on you. None of us in this room are worthy in ourselves of the gift of the Spirit. It takes the blood of Jesus to come and be applied to our hearts. And once His blood is applied to our hearts, we become candidates for everything God has for us. Can you shout amen? Amen. You become a candidate for everything God has for you. And I think Paul is saying this to the Corinthians. Listen, have order, guys. You're not, you think you're more spiritual than other people. You're not really. You still have to grow in the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit takes time. How many's ever grown fruit? I planted some cherry trees 7-8 years ago. You know how many cherries I've gotten off of them? Something went wrong there. Takes a while. However, gifts, I can give you a gift right now. You did nothing to earn it, I give it to you. We show up at Christmas, gifts are under the tree. Fruit grows. Say it with me. Fruit grows, but gifts flow. Oh man, that's good. Fruit grows, but gifts flow. This is why you can have somebody that doesn't have everything together and doesn't have maybe deep character yet built into their lives move in the gifts of the Spirit, and it can be dangerous. But they can move in great gifts of the Spirit but have something not quite right in their heart. They'll eventually, God will eventually deal with them on that. But some people say, well, you Pentecostals, yeah, but you supposedly speak in tongues, all that, but I've seen them do this and do that. Well, hey, nobody's saying we're perfect. But we have learned to open up the door of the Spirit and say, now we want to flow in this. But we need fruit and gifts together. That makes us grow up in Christ. We want both of these things working in our life. Can we say amen?
Thanks so much for listening or watching the podcast today. And I just hope the service was a great encouragement to you, great blessing to your life. I hope you get the chance to join us sometime if you're ever near or in Elizabeth City area, because the atmosphere in this church is just, I mean, it's contagious and it's amazing. I'm constantly amazed at what God does every week in the lives of people. I'm privileged, humbled, honored to be part of it. If you're watching today and there are needs in your life, I want to say a prayer with you and pray with you over those needs. The greatest need that each person has, though, is for God to come into their heart and occupy that void or that vacuum that's in each human person. We were created to commune with God, to have a fellowship and relationship with Him. So if you're not serving the Lord, I'd love to pray with you. All you have to do is believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. Ask the Lord Jesus into your heart, and an amazing life change will begin today for you. So if you'd like to pray with me, please just close your eyes. Say these words with me right now. Father, I come before you in Jesus' name. I repent of all my sin. I give it all to you today. Take away the guilt, take away the shame, take away the judgment against me. I accept Jesus as the Lord of my life. Help me now to live the rest of my life as His servant and in fellowship with God. In Jesus' name we pray. And you can all say amen wherever you are, whether you're in your car, whether you're at work, whether you're at home, wherever you can praise the Lord a little bit right there in your own environment. Thanks so much for joining us. And join us on our website. Join us on one of our social media pages. Let us know what's happened to you. We would be so encouraged and blessed to hear. So until next time, God bless.